So glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
Hallelujah. I want you to go with me in your Bibles tonight to the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms. That's in the Old Testament. That's right. Thank you for that. I want to talk to you tonight about the day the music died. The day the music died. Psalms chapter 137. I'm going to be reading from the New American Standard Bible. And I just feel like that God, I don't know if this is for everybody or just somebody. But I believe it's for somebody, for sure. I was reading a man today that the Lord's never really done this exact thing to me, but he was talking about how the Lord gave him a sermon and the Lord told him that it's going to be for one person in the church. And the church was about 500 or 600 people. So, you know, my first thought is, well, God bless the other 500 or 600. The other 599. But the Lord can interrupt whatever just to get to you. And that's why sometimes some people will hear a message or a sermon. And I don't want to call them a sermon, because when you receive it, it's not a sermon anymore. It's a message. So somebody can get a message, and it can be on this side, would get one thing out of it. Somebody right next to you gets something different out of it. Get over here and it said completely different than what they heard on the other side. Because God knows how to talk to you through donkeys. Amen. So you just set the atmosphere with your worship and set the atmosphere and let God speak to you however God wants to speak to you. And if you'll do that, God will speak to you. God will minister to you if you let him. The day the music died, in the book of Psalms 137, the Bible says, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down and wept when we remembered Zion. Upon the willows in the midst of it, we hung our harps. We hung up our harps. We laid down our instruments. We hung them up because we were by the river Babylon. We sat down there, we wept when we remembered what we used to have. When we remembered where we used to be. When we remembered that we're not 21 anymore. My oldest daughter, who of course many of you know is a school teacher now, her first year as a school teacher, she said to me tonight as we came to church, because as school has started, you know, I don't know if every teacher does this, but I have yet to see her work anything less than 10 to 12 hour days. And so she said, oh, Dad, oh, that I could just go back to college. And I wouldn't have to work. I said, but you didn't have any money. She said, but I also didn't have to work. She said, I didn't have any bills. I said, but you didn't have any money to do anything with. She said, oh, that I could go back to the days of just wanting to do what I want to do after college. And then I began to sing, gone are the days of Leave It to Beaver. Anyway, so many of us would long for some days back, and you can fill in the blank. Look, you know, some of us long for the days when you could fit into some 32 jeans. And those of you who are in a 32 jeans, we hate you. So anyway, unless you're a woman, then we're kind of okay with that. Oh, let me move on before I get in trouble. For there, in verse 3 says, for there our captors demanded of us songs. Now, I don't know about you, man, but that's insult to injury. Yeah. We're going to capture you, and then we want you to sing for us. And our tormentors mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. Now, what I want to stop for just a moment and say that they were not mocking the Jews. They were literally wanting to hear one of their songs. Because the Jews were known for their music. They were known for their singing. They were known for their worship of their God. And then they said, how can we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? I like what the New King James Version says and the King James. It says, how can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? And there are some of us in here tonight that you're in a strange land. And I want to deal with that here in just a moment. But let's talk about the whole passage for just a moment. Because in my opinion, this is one of the saddest passages or tales in the Bible. I think that it's only eclipsed by Samson when he went out to shake himself as before and knew not that the presence of God had departed. God help us that we don't know when the Spirit of God has departed out of our midst. But I believe that this is equally as, or maybe not quite equally, but just right below that passage when they say we lost our song, we hung up our hearts because we are in a strange land. The people of God had lost their song. I've been in plenty of churches where the churches had lost their song. I'm not talking about forgot the words. I'm not talking about forgot the melody. I'm not talking about playing the wrong key. I'm talking about lost their song. I'm not talking about that it's the new songs or the old songs or the middle age songs. I'm talking about they lost their song. How many understand what I'm talking about when I say their song? Because there are some people that, man, they get nothing out of I'll Fly Away, Oh Glory. But there are some of us who remember those songs and were raised on those songs and cut our teeth on those songs, and they mean something a little more to us than they do the millennials and of such. They don't really mean my, and I hate to keep picking on my daughter, but she said to me one day, she said, Dad, I just don't understand how the older crowd gets so worked up on Amazing Grace. And I said to her, because you haven't had to have such amazing grace yet. And I pray that you never do. However, if you've ever, my God, had to experience the wonderful working power of that amazing grace, then it would mean something to you. Just because you haven't experienced it yet doesn't mean that it does not have meaning. And so, therefore, those songs have meaning to us, and those songs we sing. I remember when I used to play the piano for my dad, and that church, little church in Cushla, Alabama, would begin to sing, I'll Fly Away. I kept waiting for a couple of them to fly away. Because they sang it like they were about to go through the roof. So it's really not about style or genre. It's about, is it your song? Have you lost your song? Because I've been in churches where God knows if they were in our church, they would not sing because they could not sing. But yet somebody let them sing. However, it was a song in their heart. They wasn't up performing. They were up ministering. And I've been in quite a few churches. And I'm thinking of one right now where the music was spot on. The harmonies were just, oh. It was incredible. Matter of fact, I mean, I don't know what they practiced, but their choreography was in sync. Everybody, it was just a performance to the T. They had their smiles on. We work with some of our people because some of them don't like to smile. So I tell them, if you don't want to smile, don't get on stage. Because it's not a sentence to get up here. Amen. I don't want you to sing, "He's my victory." We're saying, "He's my victory. Your spirit lives within me. You are my victory." They've lost their song. But I've been in those situations, and the one church I'm thinking of, and it's been more than that, but where everything was just spot on, but there was no spirit. There was a performance. They had lost their song and didn't even realize it. But these Hebrew realized that they were losing their song. They hung their harps on the willow trees, one translation said. We hung up our harps. We quit singing because we were being led away captive and going into bondage. But can I tell you that music was not just something the Jewish did? Music was and is part of who they are. And man, them, you know, there's dance and there's all kinds of things. Now, I've seen some Jewish dance that didn't seem very lively, but I've seen some that has been incredible. The Hebrew style of worship is not apathetic. It's not laid back. It's not boring. It's almost in your face, high octane, energetic, full of life. God clearly approves of their worship style because he shares it. We know that God sings and shouts and dances and spins and leaps according to the word of God. God is not laid back. Thank you, Jesus. God is not apathetic. He doesn't have a boring personality. He is high energy, high octane, and full of life because from him flows all life. So I just get confused sometimes when people will go to a concert and holler and scream and boot scoot and boogie and drop it like it's hot and do all of these things, but we come to church and we're the weird ones. Because if you're in the canyon at a concert, you're wild and crazy and ignorant. But when you're at the house of God, we're supposed to be reverent and shut up and sit down. Oh no, baby. You don't know what Jesus did for me. You don't know what he is doing for me. If it wasn't for the Lord on my side, if it wasn't for him, I'd be crawled up in a fetal position somewhere out of my mind. If it wasn't for Jesus, I don't know where my marriage would be. I don't know where my children would be. I don't know where I would be if it had not been for the Lord. Listen, the Bible tells us in Zephaniah 3:17, "For the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness, with his love. He will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs." Isaiah 62:5 says, "For as a young man marries a virgin, so your sons will marry you. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so your God rejoices over you." Man, have you ever thought about God maybe singing about you? I think about that sometimes. And I worry about what he sings about me. So first point is this. The first point is the day the music died, you've got to learn how to rejoice. You got to learn how to rejoice. And that means to experience happiness to a high degree, to animate. To animate. I, you know, one of the reasons I love giving my wife gifts is, one, it keeps me on her good side. Two, I love the fact that she is so animated when she gets a gift. It could be the smallest thing. Oh, I can't believe it. You was thinking about me. Yeah, I was. Now, open the present before I grow a beard. And if you know me, that's going to take 3 weeks. So anyway, Jeremiah 32:41 says, I will rejoice over them to do them good and will faithfully plant them in this land with all my heart and with all my soul. So you've heard it said that the angels rejoice. Well, Pastor, why should we rejoice? Well, you should rejoice because your name has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life if you're a child of God. You should rejoice because your God goes before you. Oh, your God goes before you making the crooked places straight. You should rejoice because you're in the hands of God. You should rejoice because he's placed his angels charge over you. You should rejoice because goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. You ought to rejoice because he knows your name. You know, there was this famous person. I quoted him today on Twitter. It wasn't me. I quoted him. And he liked it. Well, all right. All right. But let me just tell you, we get more excited about somebody famous liking our Twitter than we do about Jesus saving your soul. Amen. Saving your children. Come on, somebody. Jesus, but we think about why we ought to rejoice. Well, you've heard it said that the angels rejoice when one gets saved, but that's not exactly what Jesus said. Jesus said in Luke 15:10 that Jesus said there is great rejoicing in the presence of the angels. That's what it says. It didn't say that the angels rejoice. There's great rejoicing in the presence of the angels. Well, who else is in the presence of the angels? Ah. They're excited when a sinner repents, but there is joy in the presence of angels of God. Well, who is rejoicing? If it's not the angels, it's those that are in the presence of the angels, then in my opinion, it's got to be God. It's got to be God that rejoices that you came to an altar. It's got to be God that rejoices that you accepted him as your Savior. It is God that rejoices with you. The angels make it happy, but God is the one that's rejoicing in their presence. Now, I want you to get this picture in your mind that God celebrates people, and people ought to celebrate God. It is God that sings to people, and the people ought to sing to God. It ought to be God claps his hands and people clap their hands. God leaps and spins and people leap and spin. And I sometimes think that we're doing it with God, not just for God. Hey, no people celebrated their God like the Jewish people celebrated their God. What do you mean by that, Pastor? Other nations kept angry gods. Other nations had to appease the angry gods by sacrificing children and soldiers, sometimes wives, people, to appease their angry God, but not the Jews. They would not have to appease the angry God. They would celebrate their God because his mercy endured forever. And listen, sacrificing children, sacrificing wives, sacrificing captured soldiers, not the Jewish people. Their style of worship was so unique that when they were captives and being held, taken to Babylon, the Babylonians said, sing us one of the songs of Zion. They were known. Listen, church, our church, and I don't know as it is anymore, but I know that we've always been known for our worship. We've been known in the county for our worship. We're known as a worshiping church. I'm known as a worshiping pastor. Why? Because I know what God has done for me. Listen, man, but what the devil wants to do, listen, what the devil wants to do, though, is he wants you to hang up your harp. Well, I'm getting old enough now that somebody else can do it. Hogwash! No, 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 baby. See, they couldn't sing the song that the Babylonians wanted them to because they hung up their harps. The day they hung up their harps in the trees is the day that the music died. They failed to remember whose they were and whom they served. Point number two is this: who's in a strange land today? Who's in a strange land? How can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? After pastoring now, 28 years now, I've heard a lot of things. I've heard things like, well, I'm just in a strange place, Pastor. Well, why ain't you going to church anymore? I don't know. I'm just in a strange place. Well, I'm just taking some time off. Aren't you glad God don't take time off? Ah. Now, I'm not talking about taking time to recover and to take a Sabbath. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people who take a rest and take up residence where they took up rest. But how can we sing the Lord's song while we've been hauled away? See, I'd be willing to bet that none of us have ever been captured by a band of armed thugs hauled off to some foreign land where they spoke a strange land or a strange language in a strange land, but we have all had opportunities and we've all had strange times and have been in strange places in our walk with God. I wish I could tell you that every time I get up on the stage, I'm not in a strange land. But many times I've been in a strange land, in a strange time, getting on stage. Why do you do it? Because I refuse to let the music die in my life. No matter my disposition or no matter where I might be in my life, I've got to keep the music alive. I've had people tell me things like, well, Pastor, you've got it easy. Pastor, you don't know where, you've got the easy life, Pastor. You got this. Oh, baby, you don't know how hard I work at having the easy life. You don't know how hard I pray, how hard I fight, how hard I battle, how hard I make sacrifices to have that. Come on, somebody. See, in fact, I hear this all the time when questioned folks who used to be connected and now they've become disconnected. Pastor, you need to understand that I'm just in a strange place right now. Today I want to encourage you to hold on. Hold on to your song, regardless of the strangeness of the time and regardless of the strangeness of the place. There was a woman that used to attend our church, and there she's one of the three families who left, and there are only three families in the history of my pastorate that when they left, I said, praise God. But she was one of them. Matter of fact, when she told me she was leaving, matter of fact, she left right before we did this church because she said, if there is chairs in that church, I'll never attend. I said, that's why we putting chairs in, to keep you out. And when she said, well, I won't be back, I began to sing, ding dong, the witch is dead. No, I didn't. I know some of y'all can't handle that. But I remember one time she came to me in the old church, and she came up to me. She goes, you're always telling us to worship God. I go, yeah, I am. You're right. Guilty as charged. You're always telling us to clap our hands and sing and worship the Lord. I go, yeah, it's kind of in the Bible. And here's her words. She said, I will not worship like you want me to worship until my children come to know Jesus. And I said, I would hate to be your children. Because how many wants to serve a God that makes you mean, cranky, nasty, mean mugging all the time? I don't want to serve that God. I don't want any part of that. Come on, somebody. How, and she said to me, how can I praise the Lord when my children not saved? Yes, sometimes it's hard. But you got to muster it up, baby. You got to muster it up because you got to understand it. Listen, it's a sad reality that the people of God either have forgotten or were never taught the true power of their song. You got to understand that there is power in that song. If we fully appreciate the power of music in the kingdom of God, we would never ever be late for worship service, no matter what style was going on. Well, Pastor, I've had people tell me, well, Pastor, I put up with the music so I could get to the word. And I told them, I said, you think that's a compliment to me? That's not a compliment to me. Because you ain't going to receive the word because the music gets you ready to receive the word. What are you giving God for him to give back to you? It is cyclical. We give God worship and God gives us worry-free. Come on. We give God praise and God gives us power. We give him adoration. He gives us salvation. See, understand this, church. It's not about your favorite song is being sung. It's about a song being sung. It's about a song being sung. One theologian was sharing one day. He spoke about, historically, the church has believed that God did not just speak the worlds into existence. Keep your stones, hold on to them. He said that it was God that didn't just speak the words into existence, but he sang the worlds into existence. I don't know whether he spoke, sang. All I know, his voice came. I mean, I don't mean to be some flaky, charismatic church or charismatic preacher. However, Job said in 38:7, when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Let me paraphrase. God was saying, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? God himself portrays the creation of the world as taking place against the backdrop of song and music. Hey, my God. And you wonder the power of music. You wonder about the power. Listen, the devil, the Bible tells us in Isaiah that his body was made up of musical instruments. How many gets in different moods the kind of music you listen to? Only about 8 of y'all are truthful. The rest are either lying or wouldn't raise your hand if Jesus asked you to. When you want to get romantic, I don't want Elevation on. I don't want Elevation. I don't want show us your glory. No, man. I want some Barry White. Come on. Yeah, come on. Whatever your genre is. Maybe some Keith Green, right, Steve? No. It's an old post. But the backdrop of creation, music was the backdrop of creation and possibly even the catalyst of creation. Every plant, every atom, it vibrates. Cosmologists believe that all matter is a result of sound. All matter is a result of sound. Not just sound, but harmonic sound. My God. And there's something happens when you begin to sing a song unto God. Scientists call the sounds of the stars which they believe created the stars, cosmic background radiation. Psalms 148 says, praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all the stars of light. Psalms 148 and 4 says, praise him, highest heavens, and the waters that are above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. Psalms 119 and 1 says, for the choir director, a psalm of David, the heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of his hands. Let the sea and everything in it shout his praise. Let the fields and their crops burst out with joy. Then the trees of the forest will sing for joy before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. And of course, in Luke 19, when the Pharisees told Jesus, make your followers stop shouting, Jesus said that if they were quiet, the stones would immediately cry out. Not to mention that he said, let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. Pastor, how can I sing a song in the strange land? Well, again, it was taught, point three, taught historically that in the beginning was not so much a word, but as the hum. And again, I don't know. Now don't take this as this is this. I'm throwing it out here. I know what the Word of God says. But in the darkness, something was happening. A voice began to sing. I'm not seeking to establish some kind of new creation doctrine. No. I'm not. Please don't leave here thinking that. I don't know if God sang the universe into being, but I do know that the universe sings. I don't know if creation was formed by music, but I do know that music has both creative and redemptive qualities, and that is the point. That as we begin to sing our song, there was an old song, and as I'm looking around, there's probably nobody here that will remember this. But there was a Dave and Mary will remember this. There was a woman that was on the stage that she would sing with us. And every, you know what I'm talking about already. And there was this one particular song. We would go, I know it was the blood. And she would go, I mean, it would scare you if you wasn't ready for it. And it would scare you sometimes if you was ready for it. You thought somebody cut somebody. But I'm telling you, the blood did something for that woman. She recognized that her sin was covered by the blood. And I didn't ever ask her what all was under that blood. But I know that there was some stuff that was under the blood. And when we began to sing about the blood, it just reiterated to her that she was saved by the blood of Jesus. See, church, Nehemiah 8 tells us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Have you ever noticed that the sad don't sing? Even the blues get you into a mood. You know, next thing you know, I ain't got nobody. I was listening. I like blues. I was listening to a blues station a couple of years ago. I'm with my hand in the air. This song, there was a song. I'm going to make love to an alligator. And I said, I hope to God that comes back around. I hope that wasn't the last course. I got to hear what is that. And what he was saying is the woman he's married to is mean. She's like an alligator, but he'll make love to an alligator. But you, I'm telling you, man. Hey, but what I'm saying, even the blues, right? If you ain't careful, especially if you got any rhythm. Play that thing. It does something to you. But we want to come to church and not be moved and not sing because of the strange land that we're in. I beg to tell you that when you're in a strange land is when you need to sing the song even more, because you're in a strange land. You need to let the people know. You need to let the devil know. You need to let your flesh know that everything might not be going right in my life, but I'm going to sing the song of Zion, because if God brought me to it, He'll bring me through it. Hey. The ones who have lost their song has lost their strength. Proverbs 25 and 20 says, like one who takes off a garment on a cold day, or like vinegar on a soda, it is he who sings songs to a troubled heart. The ones who have lost their song lose their strength. A joyful heart, Proverbs 17, 22. A joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up bones. My God, somebody hear me. I don't know who I'm talking to. Psalms 28, 7. The Lord is my strength and shield. I trust Him with all my heart. He helps me and my heart is filled with joy. I burst out in songs of thanksgiving. Music has the ability to create an atmosphere to change the mood and to change the life. With the right song, you can forget everything. And with the right song, you can remember things. You know, a song will take you right back, won't it? A song will take you back to good times and bad times. A song. It's one of the power of it. It's why the devil don't want you to sing. Well, Pastor, y'all won't give me no mic. Yeah, there's a process. I'm talking about you singing in your life. Music has the ability to create more than an emotional atmosphere. It can create a kingdom atmosphere as well. Man, you know, you're having trouble in your house. Well, Pastor, everybody don't like it. Well, number one, you know, if you the boss of that house, you put on what you want. Ain't nobody else paying rent. My children listen to what I want to listen to. And I'm paying rent. Amen? But you got to learn. You got to learn to do it. You got to learn to sing when you don't feel like
when I want to be close to you. Where the happy are.
in the good times and I'll praise in the bad times. It means that I'll praise when I'm feeling good and I'll praise when I'm not feeling good, because you are holy and you are enthroned on the praises of your people. If I want God to be where I am, then what I have to do is praise Him. What I have to do is worship Him, because a guaranteed response is that He comes to where He is worshiped. He is enthroned on my praise. So if I want the devil to exit right and I want God to come in on the left, then I must worship Him. The old-time Pentecostals had a practice they called the praise cure. You would praise Him until the healing came. Paul, today we call it a praise break. You just stop what you're doing and give Him praise. You just stop the service. You stop what you've got planned. And you take a moment to worship Him, to praise Him, to glorify Him, to bring Him near. Acts chapter 16. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the other prisoners were listening. Did you catch that? And the other prisoners were listening. And when God began to respond to the worship of these two, the Bible said all the prison doors were open. See, sometimes your breakthrough is just because you're in the proximity of God's abundance. Sometimes your breakthrough is because you didn't have enough to go through. But somebody around you, somebody that was bound around you, begin to lift up the name of God, and the worship and the deliverance came for you. Paul was fond of quoting David. David filled the Psalms with instructions to sing and make a loud noise and a joyful sound. Sing, O Zion, sing. This practice clearly made a mark on Paul. He said in Ephesians chapter 5, don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs among yourselves, making a melody in your heart unto God. He is suggesting that what people look for in drinking to relax, you can get in worship. What people seek for in a fix to forget, you can get in worship. My God, if you ever, you know, many of you know I used to run. It don't look like it, but I used to jog. And somebody told me one time, Pastor, if you ever hit that runner's high, you'll never be the same. Well, baby, I must have never hit it, because I still hate running. I dislike it. But can I tell you that if you ever get into the presence of God and you forget yourself and you forget that around you, you will never be the same again. The spirit-filled, spirit-led person will find a song in his heart. And the Holy Spirit will be singing within, and some of the symphony of the soul will come out through the lips. Never let the music die, not even for a day in your life. Roy's retired now. Remember that one day? Roy's retired now. He used to be our custodian. Then he got too old. We had to put him out to pasture. We almost shot him, but we decided not to. He was still good enough for the base. No. He retired. But before then, he had a knee problem. And one morning, he just complained about his knee all morning. And I would walk in this sanctuary, and he'd be vacuuming. And all you could hear was the vacuum. So he came into my office one more time to complain. And I said, Roy, shut up. I said, have you tried praising your way through it? Well, no, Pastor. I said, how long have you been going to this church, son? I said, go into that sanctuary. You still got half of it to do. Put on some music and vacuum. I came in and just a little while later to check on him, I heard the music from my office. And he had that vacuum cleaner and it was like he was dancing with it. It wasn't no salsa, but I thought he had on some Cuban music or something. Then he came back into my office a little bit later. He said, Pastor, it's amazing. I feel better. I promise you this. Spirit Life Team, come. I promise you this, that you cannot enter into true worship and stay depressed. You cannot enter into true worship and stay weak. God will come in and lift that burden. He will and can be with you. Would you stand? I will praise you, Lord. Now, here's what I want us to do. There are people here that are willing to pray with you if you want prayer. And if you want prayer, come to one of these that are here. But if you just want to come down and worship, just keep a few steps away from them or they'll grab you. And just worship. But if you want prayer, come and let them lay hands on. Let them pray with you. Come on, everybody, let's take a praise break. Come on, let's do it. Ooh, yeah. Praise is what I do when I want to be close to you. I lift my hands in praise. Praise is who I am. And I will praise him while I can. I'll bless him at all times. And I vow to praise you through the good and the bad. I'll praise you with a happy or sad. I'll praise. What I do, even when I'm going through, I've learned to worship you. I know my circumstance, but they don't even stand a chance. Why? 'Cause my praise outweighs the bad, and I vow to praise. Praise you with a happy set.
do. It's what I do, and I owe it all to you. I'll praise you through the good, the bad. Lord, I'll praise you. Oh, whether happy or sad, Lord, I'll praise you. And all that I go through, because praise is what I do. It's what I do, and I owe it all to you. Never lose your praise. Never let your praise die for one moment. Come on, look to somebody and just declare it. I'm not going to let the music die in my life. I'm not going to let my praise die. I'm going to keep it vibrant in my life no matter what I go through, no matter where I'm at, no matter what I'm dealing with. I will praise the Lord.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.